Welcome to Gombrak and Gimel Mishnah Yudbeis. Nichnas lebeis haKnesset. The Metorah wants to enter a shul to daven with a minyan. And the problem is that a Metorah is mitame everything underneath the same oil as a Metorah. So how can he daven in the shul? He'll be mitame the rest of the congregation. The Mishnah tells him, Oizel mechisa gvoa asor tzvachim. Arecha da'ad amba. The congregation should make for the Metorah a mechisa, a dividing wall between the Metorah and the rest of the congregation. And that wall should be at least 10 tzvachim high. That would separate the Metorah from the rest of the Tzipor. And the amount of space that the Metorah should have on his side of the Mechitza should be 4 Amos, the width of 4 Amos. The person needs 4 Amos for davening. As we have a concept of Daud Amos, shall tefillah is 4 Amos of tefillah. And nobody's allowed to sit within 4 Amos of somebody who's davening. So we see a person needs 4 Amos for tefillah, so we should give the Metorah that amount of space to daven on his side of the Mechitza. And since the Metorah is on a separate side of the Mechitza than the rest of the Tzipor, his side of the Mechitza is considered a different oil than the other side of the Mechitza where the Tzibor is, and since he's in his own oil, he would not be Mitame, the Tzibor, that are on the other side of the Mechitza. Nechnas Rishoin B'yatza Achron. The Mishnah tells us that when Torah enters the shul, he should enter before anybody else enters, and when he exits, he should only exit after everybody else left, as we wouldn't want the Torah to be Mitame, the Tzibor, while he's walking in or while he's walking out. So therefore he should come in first before everybody else comes in. Now even though while the Metzorah is walking, he cannot be Metame those that are underneath the same oil as the Metzorah. As we had previously, a Metzorah is only Metame Baal when he's staying in one place. So why can't he walk in with the Tibor, as he'll just continue walking until he gets to his side of the Mechitza, and only then will he stop. Mephoreshim explain that we're afraid that maybe while the Metzorah is walking to his side of the Mechitza, he'll stop for a minute, and then he'll be Metame the rest of the Tibor. So therefore, he should enter the shul before everybody else enters, and he should exit only after everybody else left. Kara matzol tzmit psil ba'ayo ha'meis. Matzol tzmit psil the beis ha'menuga. Any kli that would protect its content if the kli was tightly sealed, and inside the oil of a meis, underneath the same roof as a meis, such as an earthenware kli, since it only becomes tummy from the inside, not from the outside, if it's tightly sealed, it will protect its content from becoming tummy if it's underneath the same roof as a meis. Or another example would be a kli that's made out of ebon, out of stone. That kli is not makabel tumah, and if it's tightly sealed, it will protect its content from becoming tamei na'ar al-meis. Such a kli would also protect its content from becoming tamei if that kli was in a house that has a nega. Even though a house that has a nega is also mitamei anything inside that house, just like a house that contains a maze. But a kli that is tightly sealed will protect its contents if it was a kli charis or a kli ebon. And so too, anything that will protect its contents if it was covered and in an oil amaze, such as a well that's inside an oil amaze, if that well is covered, even if it's not tightly sealed, it will protect its contents from becoming tummy in oil amaze. Such a thing would also protect its contents if it was in a house that has a nega. If there's a well in a house that has a nega and that well is covered, it will protect its contents from becoming Tamei from the Bayit HaMenuga. This is going according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kor Matzo Tzmit Psil Bayo Ameis, Matzo Mechusa B'Bayit HaMenuga. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi holds that a Bayit HaMenuga is not mitame as severely as an Ola Ameis. So therefore, we are more lenient by the Tumah of a Bayit HaMenuga. So a Kli that would protect its contents if it was tightly sealed and in an oil hamez would protect its contents in a bayis hamenuga even if it was not tightly sealed. If you had a kli cheres in a house that has a nega, even if that kli cheres is not tightly sealed, as long as it's covered, it will protect its contents from becoming tame in a bayis hamenuga, as the tumah of a bayis hamenuga is not as severe as the tumah of a maid. So therefore, a kli cheres or a kli evan, even if it's not tightly sealed, as long as it's covered, it will protect its contents from becoming tamei in a bayis hamenuga. Ko hamatzo mechusa b'ayo hameis, afilu megula b'bayis hamenuga tor. And anything that will protect its contents in ayo hameis, as long as it's covered, such as a well in ayo hameis, if it's covered, it protects its contents from becoming tamei in ayo hameis. Such a thing will protect its contents from becoming tamei in a house that has a nega, even if it's not covered at all. Even if it's open and not covered, if there are objects inside a well, and that well is inside the house that has a nega, those objects would remain tar. They would not become tameh from the bias hamanuga, even though the wall is not covered, as the tumah of a bias hamanuga is not as severe as the tumah from a mitzvah. What is the process to be mitar mitzvah? Somebody who has a nega which has now healed, what would be the process to be mitar? They would bring a brand new earthenware coast, and inside of it would be put a revius of water, that's chayim, live water, meaning water from a spring. Who maybe states you parim draw, and also two wild siparim would be brought. Two siparim that are not domesticated would be brought. Shachad es achas mehem, al kli cheres va'al mayim chayim. One of the birds would be brought and shechted right on top of the earthenware kli, which holds the mayim chayim. And the blood would drip out from the bird into the mayim chayim. So now there'd be a mixture of blood and water. Chafar b'kaybra b'fanim. They would then dig a hole and bury the shechted bird right in front of the mitzvah. And that bird which is shechted is also by night, not allowed to derive benefit from it. So we'd bury it right there on the spot so that nobody should think that we have benefit from it. So we'd bury it right there in front of the mitzvah. Then a piece of cedar wood and a stalk and wool dyed red would be brought over and would be wrapped up with the extra material or the lashon of the strip of the shnitolas. So the shnitolas was longer than the eighth eretz and ezos. So there's an extra strip of shnitolas. So when the three are put together, the three would be wrapped up together with the extra lashon, the extra material that the shnitolas has that is longer than the other two. The hikif lahem rashi agfayim barosh hazanav shel shnit. They would then bring the second bird, as there were two birds originally, one was shechted, and there's one bird remaining. And that bird would be brought, being held by the tip of its wing and the tip of its tail, and brought over right close to the other items that are used here. Tavav v'hiza sheva pamim la'achar yado shel mitzayra v'yeshayim rima'al mitzchum. The bird would then be dipped, together with the eighth eretz, eitha v'shni tolas, into the klicheres which held the water that was mixed with the dam of the first bird that was shechted. And it would all be dipped together into the kli cheres, and then it would be sprinkled on the reverse side of the hand of the mitzvah, and some say, not on his hand, but on his forehead. They would sprinkle seven times on his forehead. And this is a process that was done also when a house has a nega, and the nega has gone away. To inventory the house also, they would have this entire process mentioned here, but instead of sprinkling it on a person and sprinkled on the house, they would stand outside of the doorway of the house and sprinkle the mixture of the blood and the water on the doorpost of the house.